But I know this, I'm here tonight not because of my faithfulness, but because of the Lord's faithfulness. And I owe everything I am to Him, and I bless His holy name. Mark chapter 11 tonight. Mark chapter number 11. And we're going to read our verses again. And I really intended, when we close the service this morning to come back into this tonight and to finish it. And I just believe the Lord's going to let us preach a third part to this. Maybe next Sunday, we'll see when the Lord directs that way. But I want to share a little bit more, dive a little bit more into this passage with you tonight, if the Lord will help us. Mark 11, if you're willing and able to stand, I invite you to do so for just a moment. We'll read these few verses together. Verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. That's what you're going to need, fellas. You're going to need faith in God. This is what you've got to have. You want to see miracles done. You want to see prayers answered. You want to see the supernatural done around you. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, this is the verse I want to center in on tonight. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. I don't think we'll make it too far in verse 25 and 26. I may close tonight and just kind of throw it out to you in the main point and then pick it back up on another time. But I want to continue our thought this evening. We started this morning the four-word answer that the Lord gave in verse number 22. Simply this tonight, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You can be seated this evening. This text we said this morning is obviously connected to this matter of the fig tree, and was introduced to it earlier in the text, earlier in the chapter, when Christ was hungry in his travels, has made his way and come from Bethany, and is hungry and seeks and desires fruit from this fig tree to satisfy the hunger that he has in his human and mortal body. We understand as he made his way to the fig tree that he found it bearing no figs, and cursed the fig tree and said that it would never bear fruit to any man thereafter. Now we're removed 24 hours later nearly. We find the disciples and the Lord are now passing by down this same road again, passing by the same fig tree again. And their attention is drawn to the fact that now just less than a day, or maybe at a day or a little more than a day, since that initial encounter, this fig tree is now withered and dried in the root. This represented, no doubt, in the cursing of the fig tree, it was a picture of the fruitless nation of Israel in Jesus' day, in the judgment of God against them for their false religion and the way that they had strayed from God. Their rejection of the Messiah has led to the Messiah's rejection of them. And all that is testified in the cursing of the fig tree. But what we find here is as they pass by this tree again this next day, there are observations to be made about this miracle in our own lives. We talked about this morning for a moment the manifestation of the miracle, that is simply they saw the fig tree, that these disciples were perceptive of what had happened, and they were aware and had knowledge this was a supernatural thing. And so we ought to, as God's children, be perceptive of what God's hand is doing about us and around our life. All around us, God is at work. All around us, God is manifesting miracles and supernatural things that is the work of God in and around our life. We look at the marvel for the miracle in verse 21 as Peter cries to the Master, "Behold," and he is surprised. He's speaking with exclamation, calling attention to what has been seen and what now has been known. We find here the marvel, the amazement in the heart of a disciple that God has been at work around his life and in his life, and how we ought to maintain a marvel. This would seem to be a mundane miracle in light of the dead being raised and the blind being given their sight. In light of all the other physical miracles the Lord did, the casting out of devils and the stilling of stormy winds, and it is a mere fig tree. It's just a tree that is withered at the root. And yet their acknowledgement that this is the work of the Savior upon this tree. They, my friend, maintained a marvel even for the little miracles that have been done and been accomplished. Know how we ought to be amazed that God would do anything around us or for us or in our lives this evening. The marvel for the miracle. But the message tonight is simply that, the message in the miracle. As they questioned the Lord about this fig tree and it being withered at the root, the Lord answers them and simply says, "You want to see this? You want to see this again? You want to see the miraculous? You want to see things that only the Lord can do in your life?" And fellas, it's going to take faith in God. Have faith in God. And simply put, Christ uses this emblem of judgment. He uses their curiosity about this fig tree and what has taken place to teach the importance of faith in God. And we said this morning, faith is a big subject in the Word of God. I know I preached on it a while, and I'll not take much time this evening. But it does bear saying again and again in nearly every service, I suppose, that men are only saved by grace through faith. If a man or woman is going to be saved by the grace of God, they're going to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's only one way that that's going to be taking place, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not in joining the church. It's not in being baptized. It's not in eating a wafer. It's not in sitting in a booth and confessing your sins to a man. Salvation is only by faith in the Son of God. If a man is going to come to God, the Bible declares a man that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because, Brother Riley, without faith, the Bible said it is impossible to please God. And so this evening, salvation is brought to our life by faith. We are introduced to God by faith. We know him tonight by the faith of the Son of God. Paul said, "The life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so this subject of faith is absolutely of necessity when we think about having faith in God in the matter of salvation. That's where our relationship with the Lord begins. It begins, how it begins, is by faith. Not of works, lest you and I would boast. Not of works, lest you and I would be merit mongers. Not in anything we could do, save putting our wholehearted trust and faith in the God who said he would save all that called upon him by Jesus Christ. Ain't you glad tonight, amen, that you know the mystery of the gospel, that faith in the Son of God is enough to bring a sinner out of their sin, enough to bring a sinner off the road of hell and judgment that we deserve, out of the wrath of God and into the favor of the Son of God. Amen. Faith, what an amazing thing tonight when we put it in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here tonight we understand again that Christ is not dealing with publicans and sinners. He, my friend, when he says have faith in God, he's speaking to disciples. And so faith is not began and end in the same transaction. And saving faith leads to a life of sanctifying and growing faith by which the just are called to live by. When Jesus said, have faith in God, I think there's a parallel connection to what we find throughout the Word of God, and that is simply the just shall live by his faith. And we don't live by sight. We don't walk by sight. We're not governed by feelings and by emotions and by the whims and the opinions of the world. They're like blowing winds that change in a moment of time. But Brother Jack, the just shall live by faith. And we live by our own faith, and we live our life by the faith of the Son of God. Paul would speak about, and I said I wasn't going to belabor the point, but I feel like it needs to be said, that the life we lived is lived by faith of the operation of God. Colossians chapter number 3. And in that, we understand this evening that faith is an active part of the heart and the life and the journey of the child of God. And so when Jesus said, have faith in God, he is speaking to his church. He is telling you and I, his children, that we are to have faith in God. Oh, how prone we are to walk in the flesh. Oh, how prone we are to give way to our feelings and our opinions. My friend, to have faith in God is to live a life that is rooted and anchored and absolutely persuaded and by conviction. And everything God has said is so. Faith lays hold on this. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Faith says God is right and I am wrong. Where God and I disagree, having faith in God means God is right and I am wrong. And God needs no changing, but I need to change. And we could elaborate tonight in a big picture scheme and doctrinal discourse tonight on faith in the life of the child of God. What we've noted tonight in Jesus' statement here, have faith in God. It's interesting and of importance tonight to note that what follows is a connection that Christ makes to that of prayer in our life. And so prayer is the way that we exhibit our faith in God. Faith in God is not me saying I have faith in God. You can brag it up all you want about how you believe and trust God. If you're not praying tonight, you do not have a connection to this truth of having faith in God. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed. And he's talking about what we preach this morning, the obstacles that need removed in our life. And how that it's going to take faith with God connected in prayer to remove mountains and obstacles that are in our way. He says plainly in verse 24, when you pray. He said in verse 25, and when you stand praying. And so there is a connection of this matter of having faith in God in our lives as his children, and is absolutely connected to our prayer life. I said this morning, we need to say it again, and that is that we, my friend, could be no more faithless than when we are prayerless in our life. And this evening, understand that, and it takes a praying child of God and says, I need the Lord and I'm trusting the Lord and I'm placing my faith in God for my spiritual journey, and my life could be what he would have it to be, and I might receive the things that I need to receive in order to make it in this journey, and that my life might attain unto those things by which the Lord has saved me to be. And we're trusting God for that tonight. It's not in the fact that my granddaddy was a great Christian. It's not in the fact that my grandma was a great Christian. It's not in my associations and friendships and preachers that I've heard tonight. But it's in that relationship that I have with God in prayer is the secret connection to this message that Christ is preaching. Have faith in God. How's your faith in God tonight? How important is this to our life this evening? I gave you the first point this morning, which was simply this, verse 23. We need to have faith in God for the obstacles you need removed. Having faith in God for the obstacles you need removed. Mountains equal obstacles. Obstacles and mountains, Jesus said, and they need to be removed, simply lifted up and taken away. Well, how is somebody like you and I going to do that? When the mountain is bigger, when you can't get over it and you can't get around it and you can't tunnel through. I'm glad tonight there is a faith in God that is a mountain moving faith. Mountain moving faith. Paul would speak about it in 1 Corinthians 13:2, about though I had faith that could remove mountains. And so that is a possibility. To be able to cast away the mountains that are before us. Peter said, casting all our care upon him, for he cared for us. David said in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And so there is just this mountain-moving faith in a God that is bigger than any mountain, and a God that is greater than any obstacle, a God that can handle anything that is too big for you and I. I'm thankful tonight we can put mountain-moving faith in such a God as him. I'll not re-preach the 8 truths that I give you out of verse 23 that are connected in there, even through other passages of Scripture. Can I just remind you of one of those truths this evening again? And we would say it must be a large faith in order to move such large obstacles. Jesus said in a parallel teaching of this same truth, and if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that is all it takes to move mountains in your life. I'm glad tonight, listen, it doesn't take this monstrosity of a faith. It doesn't take a gigantic faith. Amen. Jesus said, if you'll put a little faith in a great big God, and that God is able to do mountain-moving work in your life. I'm glad tonight for the mountain-moving faith that we can have whereby we learn. And it's not us that are moving the mountains. It's not us removing the obstacles. But it's the God we have put our faith in that is in work in our life based upon the faith that we place in him. Amen. Mountain moving faith. We need to have faith in God for the obstacles you need removed. Number two tonight, and I'll be done briefly here in just a moment. Notice with me tonight, we need faith. We must have faith in God. I'll put it this way tonight, for the objects you need received. For the objects you need received. Let me read verse 24 to us again tonight. The Bible said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus brings us into the heart matter of prayer. And what prayer really is, prayer is simply asking. Prayer is asking, it's making a request. I want to say tonight, before we dive into this text and this verse, you've got to be very, very careful with verse 24 in this passage. There have been people who have gone off into ditches and have, my friend, run rampant into very silly doctrines and silly ways of looking at the spiritual life and the matters of prayer, where they dive off into error that God never intended for this verse to mean. Amen. And so understand tonight that we've got to have faith in God for the objects we need received. There are things you're going to need to make it in your Christian life. There are going to be days when only God can bring and bestow upon you and give you those things that you're going to need to make it from day to day. And so I want to show you what is involved in this matter of having faith in God for the objects you need received. I want to say, number one, it involves desire. It involves desire. Will you listen to me for a minute tonight? Oh, here's where people get sideways with the King James Bible. Amen. And listen, you can't take one verse and strip it out of context and use it in ways that contradict other parts of the Word of God. Amen. When Jesus said, listen what Jesus said. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. And here's what the charismatics and the holy rollers say. They use this verse as a blank check that God is going to be put in a box and he's going to do everything that they want him to do in their life. I'll show you, and I can prove to you that how wrong that doctrine is. Most of those folks say they believe that. Their health's broke down. They can't hardly pay their bills. They barely make it from day to day. But they're bought into some holy roller doctrine that doesn't even work in their life. Amen. Amen. This is not a blank check. This is not a verse that you can just throw out to God and then God is obligated to have to give you what you desire and what you want in your life. Amen. You say, well, that's what it looks like it's saying. That's because you don't know the Bible and you don't know, amen, the true heart of our Savior concerning his children. Amen. He'll get it in a moment. Leave him alone. He'll get it all nailed down. All right? Amen. It sounds good to me up here. Migraine. Do we need to pray for him? All right. Y'all pray for Sam this evening. All right. Somebody have faith in God. Okay. Notice with me that this matter of desire is not about just my selfish desires for my own life. If I want my desire, Brother Jack, I'd be a millionaire tonight. If I had my desire, if it was about my desire, listen, there's things I want in life that I think would make life a whole lot easier on me and my family and the way that we want to live. And yet this matter of desire that Jesus is speaking about, it is not about a selfish desire in our life. I'll show you that in a moment. The desire here is that of a disciple who is seeking the things that his master wants for his life. Amen. The Bible said if we commit our ways to the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. That verse again is not teaching a blank check theology that the charismatics have promoted and built up and give people false hope about in this hour we're living. That verse is about as I commit my way to the Lord, that my desires then become godly desires and divine desires and the desires that God has for me. And in that, God will always give me the desires of my heart. Amen. Amen. This ain't about you getting a bigger paycheck. Amen. This is not about you having your health cleared out by the doctor because you're tired of suffering. Amen. This matter of desire is about me saying, Lord, I want what you desire. My desire is literally what you desire for me. Amen. Let me show you some verses tonight. Y'all ready? James chapter number 4. Look there with me if you would. James chapter number 4 and then verse number 3. Here's what he said. I don't know what the holy rollers do with this verse. Ye ask and receive not. Well, I thought Jesus said if I had a desire and asked him, I would have that I desired of him to have. Well, James said, you ask and you receive not. Why? Notice what he said. He said, because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lust. That you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, we're not to ask for things from a selfish heart and a selfish desire, and this is no expectation of reception. James said, you are asking and you're begging and you're praying and you're pleading, and yet you never receive because it's all about you. And so, my friend, the desire I submit to you, the desire that Jesus speaks about us calling upon God for is not my selfish desire, but it's as my heart desires the things God desires for me. In that, I have faith in God that I will receive the object that I need to make it in my spiritual journey. Amen. Let me show you some other verses. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 in verse number 14 and 15. I love these verses. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, oh, there it is, preacher. I can just throw anything out to God and he's going to have to do it. Well, don't stop reading there. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. When we're talking about this matter of having faith in God for the objects we need received in our life for our spiritual journey, my friend, it involves you and I learning how to pray and desire those things that are God's will for our lives. What if it's God's will for you to suffer? What if it's God's will for hardship to be a part of your life in ways that you don't think you can handle, but God says you can? Amen. Listen, we're to pray having confidence in the Lord, having confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we, here it is, we desired of him. The connection couldn't be more clear and plain in these verses. That our desire is connected to the will of God, which is the desire of God for our life. Amen. Have faith in God in prayer, believing that you can receive what you need, praying according to the will of God, praying not that you might consume it upon yourself, not your own lust, not your own selfish desire, not what the flesh wants, but what God wants for you and I. John 14, you can look there, John 14, verse 13 and 14. Tonight, for just a moment, John 14, verse 13 and 14, here's what Jesus said. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And again, there'll be some that will come along and take these verses out of context. And they skip over that end of verse number 13, that all of this is predicated on the glory of the Father being given through the Son. Our desire, listen, don't be so silly as to think that, well, you know, I was driving through the Walmart parking lot and I prayed when I pulled in, God would give me a parking spot up front and God did that for me. I'd hate to think I was that shallow in my spirituality. Amen. Because God knows, amen, better than most of us. Most of us need to park at the end of the parking lot and get some exercise, amen, and walk across it. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And people are so silly about how they apply this truth to their life, and they're missing the significance of the spiritual impact this could have upon our Christian life. Amen. Amen. We are to ask to receive those things that would allow Jesus and the Father, our Heavenly Father, to be glorified in our life. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is interested in your Heavenly Father. He is interested in you having faith in God or the objects that you need to receive. It involves your desire. How is your desire? Where is your desire? How spiritual is your desire? How divine is your desire? Hey, listen, how godly and holy is your desire tonight? You have any godly desires? Do you have anything spiritual you're asking and desiring God to do in your life? Amen. Have you desired and had faith in him that your spiritual life would grow? you'd be a little more righteous and a little more godly and a little more conformed to the image of Jesus in your life. Most of us never make it out of the carnal realm. Amen. Lord, here's my desire. My desire tonight, my desire is connected with what I know from the Word of God is your desire for me. Get out of the silly realm. Get out of the nonchalant, casual realm. Get in that spiritual realm that says, my desire, Lord, is to receive from you what I need to be the child of God I need to be. Amen. That's right. It involves desire. Number two, quickly, it involves declaration. Notice what Jesus said. Look back in our text verse again. Therefore I say unto you, one thing soever ye desire, when ye pray. In other words, Jesus lays it upon the disciple that there must be prayer time involved in your life. It involves declaration. When you pray, pray just simply means to ask or to request aloud. It means to express to the Lord what the need is. And so this evening we understand that it involves declaration. Jesus, in teaching his disciples in Luke 11 at their request, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples how to pray. In Luke 11, in verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that seeketh, he shall find, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The idea is simply this. If you're going to have faith in God for the objects you need to receive for your spiritual life, you're going to have to talk to God about it. You're going to have to spend time in fellowship and communion expressing and declaring your need from God. Amen. Tell him about what you're facing. And tell him how you need his help and his grace. You got a temptation in your life. We are instructed that as we pray to our Heavenly Father, we are to seek and declare to him, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You're going to have to express to God what you need. He's expecting you to declare it. Say, well, he's God, he already knows, and that is absolutely so. And we rejoice in the fact that our God knows what we have need of before we ask. And yet the verse cannot be any more clear and plain. Jesus said, when ye pray. Not if you pray, not as you get around to praying. Jesus is expecting that his disciples are going to have a prayer life, that their lives are going to be consumed in communion with God and telling God about where they are, what they need, and in the will of God expressing what they need and help that they need from God to be ministered to their life by grace. It involves declaration, it involves desire, it involves devotion. The phrase, when you pray, it not only implies asking and requesting aloud to pour out one's heart, but the word pray has the implication of a life and the lips of worship. I want to remind you tonight that as we have faith in God for the objects we need to receive, we should have something for the God that we expect to receive from. Let me say that again. We should have something for the God we expect to receive from. We ought to have something to give to him. If we're going to expect him to give something to us, we ought to come bearing worship to him. Tell him the God that he is, how wonderful he is, how much he means to our heart. There must be worship involved, and not only from our lips, but from our life. And we find in this text that at this prayer that Jesus speaks about, I'll not have time to get into it in verse 25, of this prayer life, he said, when you stand praying. When you stand praying, now that would seem to be a reference to the posture of prayer. But the word stand not only can refer to the physical posture, but it refers to a spiritual perseverance. The idea is simply this, amen, that the prayer life of a child of God, it is something that is consistent, it is something that perseveres, it is something that daily, something that is often, something that is in every season, in every instance of life, is something the child of God must practice. It ought to be not just words from our lips, but the way that we live our life. Worship. Worship, most people confine their worship to a Sunday service. Amen. And I tell you something, God expects your life to be lived in worship when you're down at the grocery store, and when you're on the job, and when you're at the family reunion, and when you're in your own home. God expects our lives to be lived as lives of worship to Him. Amen. Amen. It involves devotion. It involves declaration. Have faith in God. The evidence of faith for God and for the objects. Having faith in God for the objects we need received. It involves devotion, declaration, and desire. But it involves dependence. The Bible said, listen to it now, I'm almost done. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Not a $50 bill in the mail, but power to overcome the temptations you've been prone to lately. Not for the silly things of life and just the physical realm, and maybe silly things is maybe too strong a way, but just being focused on the outward man. Getting to the realm where you ask God and you're believing God to send you the help that you need to make it for the things you know is coming your way tomorrow. Amen. Involves dependence. The word believe that you receive them, it means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to. This brings us to the heart of the message that Jesus is giving here. And it's simply this, have faith in God. When you pray, realize who you're praying to. You're not praying to a God who is a small God who can't do much. It's a God that testified of Himself, is anything too hard for me? He's a God that spake and said, my arm is not shortened that it cannot save. It's not slack. It's not an arm that is hindered or restrained or handcuffed in any way. Have dependence. If we're going to have faith in God or the objects we need received from day to day, that involves dependence. Understand who you're praying to. Understand who you're trusting on to help you make it through your Monday tomorrow. Amen. The needs that are in your life of a spiritual nature, you're going to have to believe that God is more than able to deliver those things to your life. Believe that you receive them. Have faith in, upon, and with respect to the God that we say we believe in. It means to entrust, especially, here it is again, this word believe. It means to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. We're not talking about the outward man, though. Thank God the outward man, that natural man, he's got to live, he's got a body, he's got to breathe, he's got to eat, he's got to drink, he's got to be clothed. But when Jesus said believe, it is a spiritual word. And I am entrusting my spiritual well-being, my spirituality, my godliness, my journey, my life with Christ. I am entrusting it to the one who has saved me. Amen. And I tell you tonight, who are you believing in? Who are you believing in? You believing in yourself? You believe in your mama and your daddy, that's all fine and well, but I'm telling you, Jesus said you've got to get to the place in your Christian life where you personally have faith in God. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The word believe, Brother Larry, it means to to credit, to give credit to merit somebody with something. And Jesus said, and we hit on this again this morning, in the first point about the obstacles we need removed, that there is to be a magnifying of mountain-moving faith where we're not magnifying ourselves, we're not magnifying our faith, but rather the force, the power of Almighty God in our life. When Jesus said, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them, what he is saying is give credit to the God that is at work sustaining and supplying your every spiritual need. When we get to heaven one of these days, there won't be nobody say, I tell you what, I made a good run at it. You get to heaven, you'll say, I've made it, and I've got to give all the credit to the Lord. It is the Lord that I had faith in and trusted in and gave the entrustment of my spiritual life to. He is the reason that I've made it. Amen. Have faith in God for the objects that, or the obstacles that need removed. Have faith in God for the objects that need to be received. I'll not preach it tonight. I'll just throw it out. The next two verses, your big wig theologians, Westcott and Hort, those bunch of devils years ago, here's what they said. They said verse 25 and 26. They didn't even put it in their manuscripts because they said that it didn't belong in this text, in this passage. And I'll give you this. It seems that there's a shifting of gears, and yet it absolutely dovetails with what the Lord has been teaching on have faith in God. Now he goes into forgiveness and forgiving those. If you have aught against any, forgive. When you're praying, forgive. He gets so strong about it. He said, now, if you'll forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Serious, serious implications, especially on the surface. What is Jesus saying? What does this have to do with faith in God? Here's how the Lord give it to me, Mike. Here's how he give it to me. You got to have faith in God for the offenses you need released. Amen. When you're having trouble getting over offenses, the only way you can really deal with those is through faith in God. It takes having faith in the help of God to let things go. And churches are eat up with bitterness, and families are eat up with bitterness, and sometimes the seeming most spiritual people among us are so eat up with unforgiveness and grudges and hurt feelings. And I'm going to tell you something, according to them verses, amen, you got to have faith in God to be able to get beyond your offended spirit. I said I wasn't going to preach it. I'm doing pretty good for not, ain't I? Amen. I've watched people sit in churches, Gerald, for years. Not getting over something. Not getting over something. I've watched people in the same church with problems with one another sit there for years and years and years and years and years. And everybody knew there was a problem. Amen. And they thought they were just going to go right on. But according to that text, and I can show you, and I'm going to show you, you let unforgiveness and bitterness and grudge holding, you let it abound, my friend, you are jeopardizing your relationship with your heavenly Father. There's sometimes the flesh won't let it go where you're going to have faith in God for the offenses you need released out of your life. Amen. I don't want to make my way through my Christian journey some bitter old man. Amen. I've watched preachers do it, and the ministry's so tough. Sometimes I'm not complaining. It's just true. If you don't believe me, try it. We'll let you have it 6 months. Amen. It'll take about 6 months. You'll come back. You say, preacher, you is right. You can have it back. I'm not complaining, but it's so. I've watched preachers get bitter, get so full of just agitation. And I'm going to tell you something. Forgiveness, when it comes to prayer, according to that verse, I believe I can show you this whenever we get back to it. When you go to pray and there's something not right in there, God will say, up. Wait a minute. Got to deal with this. And here's what the flesh is saying. Well, you know, I tried to talk and I tried to do this and I tried to do that. And maybe that's so. Amen. Some people won't let you get things right. Some people won't let the axe get buried. What are you going to do when that happens? Tell you, the only way you can deal with that is having faith in God. Amen. Only thing going to help in that time is having faith in God. Amen. The thing that I feel like I'm preaching now. Some of y'all looking at me, you just grinning like you know something. I don't know nothing. Some of y'all look. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. This serious business, Riley, when it comes to the work of God, it's serious business. Where God said, have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God, because there's some things, amen, you won't get over without God's help. Amen. I don't want to be one of them preachers sit around the preacher's meetings and talks about how bad the ministry is, how bad so-and-so hurt me, and blah, blah, blah. I've been there. That's why I don't go to many preacher's meetings anymore. Preachers are some of the most bitter people I've ever met in all my life. Amen. And so are church people too. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said you're going to need faith in God to learn how to truly forgive. Amen. Now here's what they'll say. And I know forgiveness and restoration, there's only a conversation can actuate forgiveness. I understand that. Yes, sir. Amen. But before that conversation can be had, there's got to be a spirit and an attitude. Before forgiveness is activated, there's got to be an attitude of forgiveness that is involved when you're on your knees talking to your heavenly Father about your spiritual life. Amen. That's when you'll have to have faith in God to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this offense. I'm not going to carry it around. I'm not going to let the sting and the bitterness come out in the conversations I'm in with my best pals. Amen. Preacher, just every time I get around so-and-so, we talk about this person and that person, and I'm the eye rolls and the, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Your problem's unforgiveness. Until you get right with that book and have faith in God to let it go, you're going to bury it till the day you die. Amen. I said I wasn't going to preach it, Betty, but boy, it's coming out, ain't it? I'm going to tell you, have faith in God. Preacher, you just don't understand. Amen. I am not the poster child for what I'm preaching. I'll be the first to admit I've dreamed of going and busting out windows. I've dreamed of, amen, flattening tires. You say, oh, not you, preacher. I know y'all think I'm so sweet and a big teddy bear. I've laid awake some nights going, I wonder how I could get by with it. How I could incriminate somebody else. Then the Lord come by and say, you're going to have faith in me. It's going to be okay. When you let that thing go in the hands of God, I cannot tell you how freeing that is for your spiritual life. And I ain't the poster child. I'm still working on it. Amen. Amen. There's been a few people I wish I could get my hands around their neck in a field all alone. No witnesses. Amen? So, oh, not me. Well, you pray for me, okay? I'm just being honest. But you got to have faith in God to let some things go. You need to let anything go? Anything? Is there anything you need offense-wise that you need released out of your life? Be a good night. Let that thing go. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. I pray this evening, Lord, there's been maybe some more encouragement that's been given the people of God and challenges. Lord, we can go home and evaluate our own heart and life and not make any excuses. But, Lord, just live our life for the honor and the glory of God. We love you this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for all the things we've received for our spiritual life to make it through this journey. And I pray now this evening, Lord, that you continue to supply the things we need. How desperately we need you. We need your hand at work in our life. Lord, there may be some here tonight that's lost and undone, unsaved. I pray that, Lord, they'd realize only faith, only faith, only through faith are they ever going to be made right with God. Lord, they may be wonderful people. People may praise them and tell them how wonderful they are. But Lord, until by faith they lay hold on the wretchedness of sin that all men are born with, and the need of a Savior, Lord, to cleanse us from our sin. Lord, I pray, Lord, they would come to that place. They believe what the gospel says, the good news, the bad news, and the saving news. Lord, may tonight be a night that they come to that saving knowledge. Help our church, help us this week in the ministry. Lord, be good to us. Use us for your name's sake. We'll bless you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm done. Appreciate your attention tonight.